Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Help the South Shore Radio Show.
If I hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. If you hit 'em low, hit 'em low, hit 'em low.
Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Nothing that takes over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of that.
And here we are once again. Mouth of the South Shore Radio Show on the Wrestling Perspective Radio Network. I am and will always be the Mouth of the South Shore, Eric Cordova. Joining me from across the interwebs, the man, the myth, the legend, the reason that Blue Chew exists, Mr. Eric Kravitz. All right, let's try this and let's see if it works this way. Hello there.
Hello.
All right. Are
all
we
right,
good now?
So I'm gonna my best to not do this. I think the link I got was a little bit awkward and incorrect, but it's me. I'm Long Island Iced Eazy-E, and the band is back together for the first time in quite some time, but it's good to be back. I've been doing other things, and most of those things are not as fun as this, so it is a delight to be back to sharing the airwaves with you.
You make the return on the same week as someone else made a return, and we'll get to that, of course.
Return. To be fair, we both look exactly the same.
Well, if you take the mask and leave it on, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the mask,
absolutely.
Bray Wyatt and I could easily be twins.
Absolutely, and we'll get to that. I want to dig into that because I did something that I haven't done in a while, and that's I actually attended Monday Night Raw.
Does he know about it?
Yes.
No? Okay.
Yeah, well, she better. Soon she'll be my wife. But
like.
Yeah. But no, I actually attended Monday Night Raw. I haven't done that in quite a while. So that. Yeah.
You and the boys from the day job got together?
Yeah. So that's the thing, is that, like, you know, normally you do one of these things. You go, all right, let me leave it all behind. Let me get together with some buddies, and you go to the show. This time it was, you know, my manager's a big fan, and it's like, let's all go to the show as a team. Let's do this as an outing for our team. And so there we went. Came from the city, went all the way out to Long Island, got ourselves into the Nassau Coliseum, which wasn't full, by the way. Kind of weird. It's actually
not
disappointing. Like, it's Monday Night Raw at the Coliseum, and you're not selling out?
Doesn't matter. I can easily see it, the Coliseum not selling out anymore.
But they shrunk it. I mean, so you're not even talking about getting 15,000 to 20,000 people anymore. You're talking, like, 8,000 to 9,000 or something like that. I forget what the Coliseum holds, but it's really
It still holds double digits.
It does? Okay.
Yes.
I was a little unclear about that.
I think it's like in the neighborhood of like 11. Yeah, it holds 14,000 to 500 people.
Okay. So I would say if they broke into the 10,000s, I would be surprised. Because they had roped off some of the... No, and they had roped off some of the area, and I saw some empty seats, and it's a little disappointing. I did look across the aisle, and I did see a good friend of the program, the Mintz couple. Of course, the great Seth Mintz was there with his wife. So, we were in good company. And, yeah, so it was, Well, actually, you know what was cool about it is, you know where you live, they, I think because of what they nicknamed it, they had Oyster Bay Barn Rocker on tap at Nassau Coliseum. So that was pretty cool.
Yes, they do. It's making its way into local bars. Also, ladies and gentlemen, support your local bars. They need the business.
Absolutely. And support your local breweries because they're fantastic and they make good beer. So I'll give a nice little shout out to Oyster Bay Brewing. I had a Barn Rocker while I was at the show, and it was very tasty. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed myself.
Our Barn Rocker is good, and also their summer variety is quite delicious, too. But most summer varieties are they're my cup of tea, or I should say my cup of beer, because you can't really compare a cup of beer or a glass of beer to a cup of tea. I don't
Absolutely.
Think that would work out.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were going to get into a lot of this stuff, and I'm going to hold off on one of the topics, which was, let's get into, you know, what Bischoff and Heyman are doing. Now, I don't think they're doing anything yet, so we're going to hold off on that. So I really don't think that they have any say, or at least not a lot of say yet, so we're just going to stay away from that topic, because the word is they're not doing the shows yet. It is not them. So let's steer clear of it. But we did have a pay-per-view on Sunday, and we did have Raw on Monday. I mean, this is the thing about a lot of WWE shows. If you watch them in a vacuum, they can be really good. Like, I thought Extreme Rules in a vacuum was a good show. I enjoyed it.
It was all right. There were two matches on there that I thought that were good. Everything else was like a little mediocre. But for the most part, I did enjoy the show. Kind of, sort of-ish. Like, I don't want to sound super jaded, but it wasn't. It was all right. For WWE, it was very good. But the Evolve show the day before, I think, was better. The AEW show this time was not. I'm not going to go ahead and say that it was, because I'm not stupid.
Yeah, it wasn't their strongest of the, what is it now, the third or fourth show they've done?
Yeah, it was not their best, no.
No, no. And look, you know, the thing is, I want to be fair to everybody, and I'm going to call them like I see them. They've had some really good shows. This one wasn't a really good show. It was a pretty good show. I wouldn't say it was a bad show, but I would say it was pretty good, right?
The one thing that I will criticize to no end, you can't make the hot tag in the right corner.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've been a professional wrestler for how long, and you can't manage to find the correct corner? Like, come on.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of finishing in the wrong hole, right? Like, come on. Like it shouldn't be that difficult to do.
Right. I agree. I'll tell you one thing, though, and I know we haven't talked about it, but I know we both, in watching AEW, right, the whole idea is you're supposed to fall in love with your Kenny Omegas and, you know, these top end, like, you know, we talked about Maxwell Jacob Friedman, you know, he's a really good talent. I'm telling you, though, I'm liking this Luchasaurus. That's the guy. You know, I know you do, too.
I've heard that from the get-go.
Where did he come from? Where did he come from?
He was in developmental. He was in the NXT system for a little bit. But it didn't work out for him. I don't know why. He looks like if Tyler Rex had charisma.
Yeah.
But I'm not sitting here to defecate all over Tyler Rex. I think he could have been a good talent. But Luchasaurus, and also Jungle Boy helped make it. Let's not give all the credit to Luchasaurus here. I can't believe I'm about to have a serious discussion about a man who calls himself Luchasaurus. He knows how to work with what he has, which is something you cannot really say about a lot of wrestlers now.
Yeah, and I often think that these guys go too far to try and do things that they don't need to do. Like, the guy who plays Luchasaurus is what, like 6'5", 6'6", like 250? Like, he's a big guy. You can tell the difference when he's in the ring as compared to a lot of these other guys. Like,
yeah.
He towers over them. When you're a guy who towers over people, you should be using a different type of offense. I understand now. He busts out a moonsault every now and again because it does look cool when you do it sometimes, you know? But when it, when you try to make it a regular part of your arsenal, A, people get used to it. Like, you can only see a guy do that so many times. You're like, okay, I've seen it. You know, it's cool watching the little guys. That's what they do. But for the big guys, you're like, I want to be surprised. Like, when Brock Lesnar busted out the shooting star press at WrestleMania, people were surprised. He used to do it in developmental, but then he busted it out, and people were like, holy crap. Then, of course, he landed on his head, and that never happened again. But I digress. I also read an amazing article. It was an interview with the former Wade Barrett, and he talked about a time where this kid, like a 16-year-old kid, was stalking Brock Lesnar. You know, like,
oh,
you know,
I saw around
the
video.
You saw this? And apparently it became an inside joke with the wrestlers that, you know, because Brock yelled at the kid, what are you trying to do, look at my penis?
I can just imagine, and Wade Barrett went out of his way to say this also, and I completely agree. It's Brock Lesnar. You wouldn't think he would go around using the anatomically correct term for any body part that he's not trying to rip off of that person's body. Like, I can imagine him using every slang word in the dictionary, but to come out and say, are you trying to look at my penis? Like, it's a little weird. I can't imagine Brock Lesnar actually saying the word penis.
But we're saying the word penis. I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to say penis in the air, but we're saying penis in the air, so we'll just go with that.
Are you supposed to say penis on the air?
I don't know if you can say penis on the air, but at this point, we've said penis on the air like 11 times, so
you know,
if penis isn't allowed
said,
in the air.
I think we've said penis on the air too many times. This is
right,
going to be a really good time to drop Bluetooth, but we're about 18 minutes early. Bluetooth could help you with that.
Absolutely, and we will get to that later. When you
I
want
know,
to get to things now,
BlueChew.com.
No, I'm kidding.
It was too easy. I had to make a joke.
Yeah. So getting back to, look, you had a bunch of shows. Yeah, I mean, the Evolve show, a fun thing. It doesn't happen all the time. And you had Matt Riddle come back, and he was part of it. And you had the NXT title on the line for some reason. But they put on a good show. It was a lot of fun. I didn't know some of the talents. It was cool to see some of these guys. So, all right, we're off and running. And then we got to the end of the weekend, and we got the WWE pay-per-view. And like I said, good show. I'm not a fan of the mixed tag stuff. It's just not, you know. And the thing is, I like Lacey Evans a lot, mostly because she's different. And I want to focus on that, and I want to get back to that later on the show. Being different and having actual character is good. Okay? It's good. It makes her stand out. We're going to talk about that when we get to the albatross of Monday Night Raw.
You know, I wish I had a run sheet so I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That way I can prepare.
Well, listen. We're going to get in, because I want to go through this whole thing with Monday Night Raw. Because, I was there. I have a little different perspective, and I can give you some tidbits of things that happened at Raw that did not happen for the audience on television. So I was a little bit surprised that they did a couple of main event matches and Zack Ryder wasn't in one of them. Or Kurt Hawkins, for that matter. But then Ryder was on the show. So I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I get it. But why not use Hawkins if you're going to do that? You know?
Well,
like,
they use the Creative Pro guys.
Sure.
So
no, I'm not talking
thing.
About that. No, on main event, they had a women's match. It was Dana Brooke. She defeated, let me see if I can remember this. I don't know. Who's a low-level women's talent? She beat one of them.
Sarah Logan?
Yes, she beat Sarah Logan. Good call.
They've been having that match for 2 months now.
Well, they had it. And then they had Titus O'Neil against... it was a tag team. So it was Titus O'Neil and somebody against EC3 and Eric Young. And EC3 got the pin. By the way, EC3's theme music is awesome. We should hear them on more on Monday Night Raw. Love it. Like I watch the guy and I try to understand, what is it that Vince McMahon hates about this guy? Like, what is it? Because I'm not seeing a reason to look at that guy and go, yeah, lower card talent. I see him and I go, look at some of the guys you're featuring and tell me this guy can't be better than them or isn't better than them.
He looked fantastic.
Oh, he looks
I'm
like a
saying
million
bucks. He looks fantastic. I don't like him on the mic.
Really?
Yeah. Really? I really don't.
I feel like they could find a way to make that work. Like, it worked enough in Impact to the point where he was the champion. I feel like you could make it work to the point where he could at least be a mid-carder. Or, I don't know, like, figure something out. Put him in, like, a mini-stable or something. Like, let's get this guy on TV and let's figure it out. I mean, there's got to be people that can do this.
Well, they tried doing something like that on Main Event earlier, maybe earlier on in the month. I think they tried doing something with Cesaro, EC3, and Robert Roode. I think they tried doing something like that, and they called themselves the Main Event Muscle or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. And look, it's cool and all, but I want to see these guys, and I'll talk about the Main Event when we get there. But I want to see these guys featured. I want to see more. And we almost got it, but we'll get to that point. So we get through those two matches. I'm a little surprised that Zack Ryder hasn't been there, mostly because I look stupid to my coworkers because I said, Zack Ryder will probably be on the pre-show, the whatever, which you can't say anymore, by the way. Kickoff show.
To be fair, you always look stupid, so it probably wasn't anything new.
Well, it was, because we had two people start, and, you know, it was their first day, and they don't know any better yet. So, I mean, yeah, we're trying here. You know, can I have the facade for at least, like, a couple of minutes? Like, a couple days. Just give me a couple of days to have the facade.
No.
But then Raw starts, and we get some good old-fashioned gloating from Paul Heyman, who dropped in the line of, I'm running this show, so I guess he kind of is. I don't know. And they announced that there's going to be a 10-man top 10 battle royal for the right to face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of these, and there's a reason for that. I know that realistically there's only like two, maybe three people that can win. Like, you're not going to feature somebody that isn't ready to be in the main event of SummerSlam. I get it. But can't we at least tease it? Can we have, like, 20 people in it and have a few, like, teases? Like, tease me a little bit. Am I wrong to think that might have been a better idea? I don't want to talk about the Battle Royale yet, but wouldn't you like to at least have a tease? Like, have a guy in there you like, it's up and coming. And just a tease, let them get to the final five or something. It's a good way to push somebody, no?
I love Battle Royals. As a kid, the Royal Rumble was my favorite kind of match, so a Battle Royal is sort of similar. So I like a Battle Royal. That's where I disagree with you. I will say...
No, I like the Battle Royal. I want more people.
But then that sort of goes against everything you were just saying, though, doesn't it? You're saying realistically there's only one or two people who can win, so let's suspend that disbelief and add more people who I know can't win?
Yes.
You're sort of losing
because
me
then. Because now you're saying, here's our top 10. These are all people that are reasonably toward the top of the card. And we're going to give you, like, the top two or three at the end. I get that. But if you have, let's say, 20 people, and some of those people are not main eventers, clearly not. Like, any of those people that were in the match theoretically could face Brock Lesnar for the title. Spoiler, Brock Lesnar cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase. So that's what happened after the Rollins and the Becky Lynch won their match on Sunday.
Are you saying that it's not a prediction and it is indeed a spoiler?
It is, and I actually like the idea of them saying, we're going to cash in, saying at the beginning of the night, we're going to cash in, and then actually doing it. I kind of like it. Like, instead of just being like, I lied, he actually told the truth. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know.
It goes to show the state of the business that telling the truth is the cool thing to do. You know?
Absolutely. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We'll get to him later, by the way. And I don't know. I thought they could have. Because when you have 10, it's like, whoever finishes where, it doesn't matter. Unless they would have done something like take a guy who hasn't been featured as much, a Zayn, a Cesaro, a Big E, and put him in like the final two and give you that false hope spot. And by the way, we'll get to this later, but I've had enough of the idea of guy goes out midway through the match. We think one guy is won and then the other person comes in. Like, haven't we seen that finish enough?
I don't like that people go out in the middle of the match, period. It sort of cheapens the idea of a battle royal and a Royal Rumble, but we don't have enough time to really get into that because that's something that's going to fire me up. And, you know, once you pop the fun, don't stop it. I don't want to take away any time. But that is something that does rustle my Jimmy, to be very honest with you. So I don't want to discuss
say it's
that.
Would you say it's like a regular Jimmy, or would you say like it's a little Jimmy?
It's a medium-sized Jimmy.
Average Jimmy.
And I wish I said that 10 minutes from now, because that is another perfect Blue Chew spot.
Absolutely.
Not on my game today. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Not on my game.
It happens. And when you're not on your game, BlueChew.com.
There you go.
We're not there yet. Yeah.
There you go.
Absolutely. But, no, so I was okay with that. Whatever. It's fine. And then we go right into the next match, which, all right, six-man match. It was all right. We did the first fall really quickly. By the way, I don't want to harp on it, but the idea of they can't wrestle during commercial breaks is idiotic, and it's even more idiotic when you're watching live, like at the show.
I wanted to ask you about that. What do they do in those instances?
I mean, so what they've been doing is they have people come out. So, like, all right, maybe they'll do an entrance, and then someone else will come out, and, like, Titus O'Neil advertised his book, and Dana Brooke at some point did, like, a flex cam thing, like, flex your muscles, and she ran around the ring. They, like, do stuff in the commercial break to entertain you. Most of it's pretty stupid.
So they do it, let's say there's, like, another thing that's been pissing me off like crazy, they've cheapened the 2 out of 3 falls match, the fact that it's something they do every week. So
yeah.
What happens if you're in the middle of a 2 out of 3 falls match?
So they'll do the fall, right? And then they'll say, oh, we're going to commercial. And then they'll kind of just like roll out of the ring. Like one person will, and the other person will be in the ring, and they'll just sort of kill time.
That's stupid.
Right. And you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I guess they're stalling. I don't know. And you don't know that they're in commercial, because how do you know, you know? So it's awkward more than anything. And I'm wondering why, when you know you have at your disposal the split camera that they do on SmackDown, why don't they just do that on Raw and forget about this nonsensical idea?
Because they need to differentiate Raw from SmackDown.
I guess.
I guess,
I don't really know what to do with that. I understand, and I actually think they should start getting the rosters in order so that we don't have to do these kinds of things. Like, I don't want to have SmackDown on Fox and have the same people on Raw. I'd like to see different people get featured. But we'll see what happens. And so that's what that was, right? And we got the match and the thing. And then afterwards, the club came out and did their thing. And I'm glad that the club is finally something that you can wrap your head around. And I think there's going to be an addition to that. There is a rumor, or as they say in other podcasts, rumor and innuendo.
And, we don't deal with that.
We don't? Oh. Well, they may expand the club. That's what I'm hearing, and we'll see what happens with that. That's all I will say. All right?
All right.
But we started getting some other things on the show. You know, as I was going on, I was trying to figure out. I know they're supposed to change up the sets as well, so we'll see what happens there. I'm genuinely curious, actually, of what they're going to do. So apparently they're going to make it so that it's like it's cool and, you know, it's big and stuff. And I'm curious to see what happens with that. Like, I want to know if they're going to truly go and make it like something that is different. What I'd rather see, I want to see the pay-per-view sets come back when those are all different. When you were getting a different set on pay-per-view. I like that. But I don't know if we're going to get that. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. When you saw the initial 10, who did you think? Who were like the couple people that you were like, okay, I could see that person winning?
I'm not going to pretend I heard what you said. Hello? Bueller? Bueller? I cannot hear you. I do not know where you are.
Hello.